Were you blessed? Give the Lord a hand of praise, please. All right, we're busy talking on understanding curses. When you want to talk about understanding curses, the first question that you have to ask, obviously, is, well, are curses real? Is it something that still exists? Because I'll tell you what popular myth likes to run around in a lot of Christian circles. Yes, there used to be curses. But because of Jesus and because of what he's done, it's all been dealt with. They are no longer real. They are no longer a concern. And if you do get concerned about things like that, you just need to adjust your theology. And once your theology has been adjusted, it's all gone. But that's not biblical. Because a lot of people still suffer from these things. Because these things still touch a lot of people's lives. And let me just say this to you. If you look at the church, which should be the most powerful force in the universe, one thing is clear. It's not God that keeps them from going forward. There is something else working against the church. And I'm not trying to say the devil is powerful. I'm trying to say the church doesn't know how to deal with the enemy when the enemy comes. And because the church doesn't know how to deal with the enemy when the enemy comes, the enemy tends to get the upper hand over us. The Bible says, today when you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. Often when you try and speak to Christians about things like the devil, like demons, like curses, spiritual warfare, etc., etc., they get very upset because these things are not real. In fact, a lot of churches see demons in the same way that they see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was only there for Jesus, Peter, John, and maybe Paul. But after that, apparently it wasn't necessary anymore. God came down like a big vacuum cleaner and he sucked it out of everybody. And so now we don't need it anymore. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? If he worked this way through Jesus, he still wants to work this way today. Jesus sent his disciples out with the following commands. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils. And if you go and look at Matthew chapter 28, we are told that discipleship should continue until the end of the age. That means that what Jesus taught Peter, Peter had to taught whoever he was teaching or discipling, and that person had to teach it to whoever they were discipling. And if the process had continued the way Christ intended it, the church by now would have covered the globe. Because we would have cast out every devil. We would have healed every sick person. Probably this generation would probably not even have existed. Because the end would have come a long time ago. But we don't do these things. For various reasons. One of them being, well, we don't believe in this stuff. Well, it's not real. I had a very interesting meeting this week. Two guys came and spoke to me. There is a debate going on in their church at this point in time. The debate at this point in time is there is a young man in the church that is battling with stuff that his father battled with and his grandfather battled with. And he asked the question, but is it not possible that I am sitting with some kind of a generational curse? Because he had heard this terminology from somebody else. Or some people will simply refer to it as a bloodline curse. And he asked the question, and of course when he went and he asked the elders of this church whether it is possible for him to sit with this thing, they all jumped up and said, no, that is impossible. These things do not exist anymore. Yet here's the reality. The stuff his father sat with, he's sitting with. The stuff his grandfather sat with, he's sitting with. How many of you know God doesn't program us with weakness? Come on, just wave at me if you agree with me. God doesn't predestine or program us with the weakness of our ancestors. But if the weakness of our ancestors has got some place, the devil will make sure that it propagates itself from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. It is a curse. And later on in the series, we will look specifically at generational curses. But it is one of the express reasons why Jesus had to die on a cross. And today, if I get time, I'm actually going to show you that. I want to start reading you a scripture. It comes from the book of Luke chapter 12. No, Luke chapter 13 from verse 10. And on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. Now, this is where you always find Jesus. He's busy teaching believers. Why is it so important for us to receive teaching? Can somebody help me out? Because that is the truth, and it's the only thing that will set you free. Listen to me carefully. You can't want people to cast devils out of you if you won't listen to the truth. And a lot of people are very cocky and very arrogant when it comes to the truth because they only want to believe in what they believe. Listen to me carefully. You can't take your Bible and tear out every page that doesn't make sense to you or every page that you do not like. Because the more you tear out, the less truth you have, and the truth is the sword of the Spirit. Did you know that? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and demons don't flee from you, they flee from the sword with you. You know, there's a lot of believers, when the devil rocks up and they have to fight, they pull out a pocket army knife. And the devil is standing there with his long, 6 foot long pitchfork. He's got this evil grin on his face. He says, bring it on, Buti, bring it on. And then they wonder why they, like the seven sons of Sceva, get beaten up and they have to run naked down the street. Don't think about that for too long now. Let's just move on. Let's just move on. So here's the fact. Having an attitude when it comes to the Word of God is going to get you nowhere. If it's in the Word, it's good for you. If the Bible says don't, then don't. If the Bible says do, then do. But you see, we come up with good reasons why I don't see it that way, and I don't think it's totally like this, and my denomination doesn't. I don't care. Is it in the Bible, yes or no? If it's yes, accept it. Make your peace with it. Hello? I spoke to you just now, and I said to you that the Word of God teaches us that friendship with the world is enmity against God. There's a lot of things that is acceptable in the world that will never be acceptable to God. But you see, this is what happens. A young man joins the church because he kind of like wants to get back to God, but there's a lot of very nice things happening in the world as well. And so now he's sort of torn in two because on the one hand, he wants to be with God because he realizes that there is definitely a hereafter and he wants to make sure that he gets there. But on the other hand, he's living here now and it looks like a lot of fun to do this and that and that. If you want to sit on the fence, let me help you to understand the fence belongs to Satan, not Jesus. Sitting on the fence is going to come back and bite you in the behind. So Jesus is in the synagogue and he's busy preaching. Why? Because people have to hear the truth. And I want to help you to understand something. If we bring you the truth and you suddenly start getting very angry, you better realize you got a ho-ho. Because there's no good reason for the truth to make you angry, but it will make the ho-ho in you very angry. And if you suddenly feel like jumping up and running out, rather jump up and run forward and say, listen, I definitely have some devil. Cast it out of me, please. It'll be much better for you if you do that. So Jesus is busy preaching. Listen to this. On the Sabbath, Jesus was busy teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Do you hear what the Bible says? There is a woman in this church. And she had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. This is interesting. Because this woman had what we could probably deem to be some kind of an infirmity or some kind of an ailment. And you'll see now what exactly it was. And today probably we will assign a medical name to it. And we will say, listen, yeah, you have to go for this operation or you have to do that or you have to go for physiotherapy, whatever the case might be. And if you do this for long enough, maybe you'll have a semblance of normalcy. Listen to this. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. So she was a hunchback, some form of a hunchback. Or maybe in a sense she had scoliosis in a very severe form. Was she bent forward? Was she bent to the side? I don't know. I mean, there's no picture in the Bible that shows us exactly what she looked like. But we know that she had a very serious problem, which today would probably fall under a medical problem. But according to the Bible, this falls under a spiritual problem. And this is where a lot of people have a big problem with how this stuff works. Because if you're sick, you're sick, right? Wrong. There's a lot of sickness out there that is not really sickness. There's a lot of infirmity out there that is not really infirmity. It is a spiritual problem in the person's life, and if you can help them to deal with the spiritual problem, then they will recover. Let me show you what happened to this woman. There was a woman there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Hello? He is setting her free from what everybody believes to be an infirmity. Even Jesus calls it an infirmity, but the Bible gives us some extra insight. Even though it is called an infirmity, it is not an infirmity in the classic sense of the word, because it is caused by a spirit. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and began to praise God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue rulers said to the people, "There are 6 days to work, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" Interesting stuff. Jesus has mercy on somebody that has a big problem. The moment he does this, because he does it on the Sabbath, and I want you to see how stupid these people are. All he did was stretch out his hand and touch her. How much effort did that take? Nothing. It was more effort just to walk to the freaking synagogue. He stretched out his hand and touched her, but that was deemed to the religious order of the time that he had violated the law because he has done work. Jesus did not do the work. The Holy Spirit did it. Shows you what they know. And they get all bent out of shape because this is not supposed to happen. This man is not getting bent out of shape because Jesus disobeyed the law. Jesus just did something and everybody's making a fuss about him. They suddenly forgot about the Pharisee, and all the eyes were on Jesus. Where should the eyes be? On Jesus. For the first time, people are getting the picture. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. And something begins to fight. Something doesn't like the fact that we are focusing on Jesus. No. Focus on religion. Focus on this preacher. Focus on this pastor. No. Let me tell you something. If your eyes are on Jesus, you will get healed. If your eyes are on Jesus, you will get delivered. If your eyes are on Jesus, your life will begin to change. Satan doesn't like us to focus on Christ. He doesn't want you to get excited about him. He doesn't want you to root for him, to bless him, to speak about him, to talk to others and get them excited. He doesn't like discipleship. And if possible, he will even use religious orders to try and push that down. Jesus wasn't interested. He stretched out his hand. He touched her. Boom. That's all he did. And the moment he touched her, the power of God filled this woman. Let me help you to understand something. The Bible says upon Jesus was the Spirit of God without measure. How do you figure that out? Well, you know, when you go to your pool is a 50,000 liter pool or a 80,000 liter pool. Or if you have a very big pool, a 120,000 liter pool, and you use mathematics to determine how much water is in that pool. But then I take you to the Indian Ocean and I say, measure it. And then you clutch out because it's impossible. Because there's water without measure. Your pool you can measure. The Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, you can't measure. Now the Bible says, upon Jesus' life was the Spirit of God without measure. Now the Spirit is also called the river of life. And when Jesus touched somebody, what was inside of him would flow into them. Hello? But now upon him was the Spirit without measure, how many of you know that if you could, in some gigantic container, get the entire Atlantic Ocean, and she had some need, and I just took it and I tipped it over her, whatever problem she had was immediately squashed. Okay, she would be squashed as well, but we're talking spiritual stuff here. She would instantly be filled. It doesn't take no time, because what was in Jesus was without measure. So the moment Jesus touched her, that's what the Bible says, instantly this woman stood up. Because the chocho in her had no answer to that. How many of you know demons can drown? You know, I'm reminded, I had this one woman, I worked with her for about 6 months. Ooh, she had plenty chochos. Plenty. She comes to me this one day, and there's this very cocky devil, the stupid thing doesn't want to leave. Now, I have to just say that in the beginning days when I started praying for people, it didn't go like you see it, yeah, you know, like just in the name of Jesus, get out and the thing goes. Sometimes it was like 3-4 hours, fight, 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 fight. I'm skinny for a reason. Do you understand? I put a lot of hard work in. There were times when you come to my office, it looks like WWF. Yeah? It's like wrestling. So this demon in this woman, it just doesn't want to leave. And it's fighting and it's screaming and it's yelling and it's performing. And you know what? God just gives me this word of knowledge. I get this word of knowledge that I must lay my hands on this woman and I must trust God that the living water will flow from me into this woman and the demon will drown. Now for some of you that sounds particularly stupid. But on that day it was particularly brilliant because God gave the word. I walked up to her. This was after 2 hours of fighting and the demon is just no, no, no. And he used some choice 4-letter words in between. And you can just use your imagination for that. I walked up to him and I said to him, this is what I'm doing. I'm putting my hands on this woman and I'm trusting God that the living water will flow into you. You are drowning today. When I touched that woman, for the first time, there was no defiance in that demon's eyes. There was fear. You know, the eyes are the windows of the soul. And what looked back at me was not cocky anymore. It was going. And you know what? It was speaking. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. And you know when somebody goes underwater and is like. His voice began to drown out. It sounded like liquid was filling his lungs. You've never heard it. If I could record it, I would play it for you. And the next moment. It was gone. Why? Because the living water of God is real. Jesus said, if we come to Him and we are thirsty and we receive from Him the water of life, who is the Holy Spirit, then streams of living water will begin to flow from us. And if it can flow into us, that means people, every human being is a vessel. If I have the living water in me and the fountain has started stirring, then when I touch her, the water can begin to flow into her if she allows it. And the living water can flow into you and you and you if you allow it. Remember what we said earlier on. Jesus says, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you will open up, I will enter in. There's a lot of people out there, they want to go to church, but the moment the river begins to run, it's like, oh, I didn't bring my flare keys. I'm going to just duck now. Listen to me carefully. This water will not drown you, but it will drown your chocho. And if you suddenly start getting very nervous and stressed when the living water begins to run, and you want to get out of that place, let me tell you something. It's not you, it's what's inside of you. Because the living water can't drown you, it gives you life. It's called the water of life for a reason. But what's life to us is death to Satan. Because we're dealing with opposites here. God is the God of love. Satan propagates hate. God gives life. Satan brings death. Death cannot survive when it is touched by life. Amen? And a lot of people are touched by the spirit of death. In the last 6 months, I can't tell you how many people we had to deal with where the spirit of death was sitting on their life. It is just shocking and it is scary. And when it manifests in the individual, they look like a corpse. They stop breathing. Their pulse goes down to pretty much zero. Their skin goes white. All the blood drains away. And they mimic a corpse. Why? Because the spirit that is upon them is the spirit of death. And the spirit of death doesn't have to take your life. He can take your mind. He can take your finances. He can take your creativity. He can take your business. He can take your finances. There are so many things that he can touch. But the fact of the matter is, wherever he touches, slowly but surely things die. Getting back to what Jesus was doing. Jesus sees a woman with a need. Scripture says about Jesus, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to heal people and set people free. This woman obviously needs both. She needs healing and deliverance. He touches her. The water begins to flow from him into her, and immediately she gets up. Now listen to what Jesus said. When the Pharisee got all clever with him and told him that, he's not allowed to do this, Jesus answered him. The Lord answered him, you hypocrite, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the water, from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what is bound her? For in case you were wondering, Jesus just puts it into perspective. What was it that was keeping this woman bound? Satan. What looked like a normal infirmity, what we would classify under some form of crippling, turned out to be a demon. A lot of people are trying to treat the symptom when you should be pulling out the root. Do you understand? Yes, sometimes you can take a paliki here and a paliki there and the symptoms, they get a little bit better. But you will never get rid of the problem until you tackle the root and you pull it out. This woman was living under a curse. And Jesus says she's a daughter of Abraham. She was a believer. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? She was not some unbeliever. She was not a Gentile. She was not a Philistine. She was a believer. Yet for 18 years in the church, she was suffering under a spirit of infirmity. There are millions of people all over this world that go to church every single Sunday with the same symptoms and the same problems, the same infirmity, the same sickness, the same problem, but nothing ever changes. Because there could be a couple of reasons for it. Number one, there is a door in front of the church. That door, if it is shut, is shut. Again, Jesus said, knock, knock, knock. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you will open up, I will enter in. This might sound a little bit crazy to you because you might have been coming to these meetings and you've seen a lot of things. But I've been around the block a couple of times, and let me tell you, there's a lot of churches that don't want the Holy Spirit to come in. He's knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, but they don't want to open up because they don't like the strange things that tend to happen when the Spirit of God begins to move. We've spoken a bit about the wind. Let's talk about the water. The Bible says, when the enemy comes rushing in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Like a flood. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord comes in like a flood. Have you ever seen what happens when water begins to flood? Have you seen what the pictures when a tsunami cruises through a place? That's like hyper flooding. It's devastation. But let me get you to understand something. When the Spirit of God, the living water of God comes into this place, there will be devastation, not for you, but for the works of darkness that has come with you. And when that happens, sometimes it's a little bit strange. Sometimes it's a little bit weird. There's a lot of yelling and a lot of screaming. There's some performing. There's a tantrum here and there because the demons don't like to leave. But let me tell you something. When God looks down and he sees that kind of devastation, there's a big smile on his face. Ah, my people are being set free. Wonderful, my people are being healed. But let me tell you, there's a couple of Pharisees jumping up and down saying, "Ooh, we don't want this here. Slam the door quickly, we don't want this here." And then 50 years down the line, still nothing has happened, nothing has changed, nobody has progressed, nobody's grown. Everybody's still the same old, same old. So there's a lot of people sitting in churches today because the church itself has nailed the door shut. They don't want that water to come in because they don't like the things that start happening when the flooding starts. The best thing for you to do when the flooding starts is just let the water take you, because the water will take you where God wants you to go. It's a lot easier to let the water take you where you're supposed to go than to just drop down the road for yourself. You know, I've seen it so many times. You sit with people that have been in the church for 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, 15 years. And they get a big head because they got a lot of knowledge and they can quote scriptures like ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum. I've had a couple of them come up to me. By the time they finished with me, my head is spinning. It's like, wow, you know like 50 times more scriptures than me. But being able to recite them like a papagai, was it a parrot? Being able to recite them like a parrot means nothing. When Satan confronted Jesus in the desert, he was a parrot himself. He gave Jesus scriptures. He said, jump off this mountain because it is written somewhere that if you do this, he will send his angels to catch you and you won't stub your toe. Then Jesus answered him, but it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When Satan said it, there was no power. When Jesus said it, Satan ran. It's got nothing to do with how many scriptures you know. It's got to do with the word that lives inside of you. The truth that you've received and that you are willing to act upon. Amen? And so, there was somebody that jumped up and said, oh, we don't like this, we don't like that. This is not acceptable. That's not acceptable. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants. So some people, they've been in the church for 20 years. They know a scripture here. They know a scripture there. But there's no power in their life. Then you get other people. They've only known God for a short period of time. Maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. The old brigade sort of look down on them as the young ones that don't know nothing. But they go out and they change the world for God. Can I tell you why? Because they decided to jump into the stream. Some people like to stand there on the shore, you know, like the oever, what do you call it? The bank. Some people stand on the bank of the river and they say, what an interesting river. Other people say, wow, this is a shortcut. It's going to get me there much quicker. Boom, there we go. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand on the bank of no river. That river was given to me to be a blessing for me. And that through that river, I will be a blessing to God. And that river is real. How many of you know the river is real? Do you believe that the river is real? I'm so glad you came back. Come stand here in front. She just had a baby. Amen. Yeah, give her a big hand. Come here. The river is real. Okay. I say to you that if the living water is inside of me, I'm a vessel. All right. And if I touch somebody, remember, Jesus simply touched that woman and she stood up. Because the transference of the living water of God can be instantaneous. If I'm a vessel, and according to John 7 verse 37, the living water has entered me, the fountain has started, and streams of water begin to flow from me, then when I touch her, the water should be flowing into her. Is that right? Are you thirsty? Turn this way for me, please. No. Face me here. Are you thirsty? Would you like a bit of water? Are you ready for a flood? Did you bring your safety jacket? You don't need one because you're not going to drown. You're not going to drown. Amen? When the enemy comes rushing in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Do you believe that the Lord can cause a flood to go over that woman? Let's see if He can. Face me quickly. Thank you. Ooh, that's a flood. That's a flood. Are you thirsty? Are you sure? They say be careful what you ask for. Come stand there. Are you really thirsty? Just go stand there by him, please. Are you really, really thirsty? Raise your hands and say, Jesus, I'm thirsty. Take it. In Jesus' name. Listen to me, woman. You've been stuck for long enough. The Lord says to you tonight, abundance has come for your house. Abundance has come for your house. I have a word for all of you. The Lord spoke to me today. And He gave me this word, abundance. Abundance. Now I want to give you a scripture. You all know the scripture. You all know it well. We're talking about curses. Today let's look at the other side. John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief came to steal, to kill and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly. Listen to me carefully. Is it God's heart for you to have abundant life? Come here. Quickly. God wants you to have abundance. Do you want abundant life? Are you ready for a flood? Are you sure? Take it. Ooh. Oh my goodness, she's flooding all over the place. There we go. Bless God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. That young man, go stand there in the front for me. Don't be afraid, man. I'm not going to bite you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. When the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Like a flood. Flood. A flood. A flood. Go stand there in front. A flood. Young man, do you believe the word of God? You were lost, but you are found now. What I'm trying to say to you is there was a time you went a bit left, right, left, right, left, right. You got a bit confused and you got lost. But God has called you back. And He called you back for a reason. You've seen a couple of things. You've heard a couple of things. You understand things now that you didn't understand before. There is a reason for that. God is preparing you. There is a very good future waiting for you. The enemy tried to steal it. But he's not going to steal it. Your life is going to go forward. And you will have an abundant life. Do you believe that? You will. Would you like some water? Are you thirsty? Heavy. Yeah, he's very thirsty. I like that. I like that. Good. God's got enough for you, son. Raise your hands. Take it. You thirsty? Come with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. Now, come stand here. Come stand here. It's your birthday, right? All right, I have to just do something for her first. You don't mind, eh? It's her birthday. Come on. Don't hold it against it. Turn and face me. You thirsty? You're always thirsty, aren't you? Yeah? Yeah, you mustn't eat so much biltong. That's what happens, man. You're a poor South Africana, right? There we go. Raise your hands. You thirsty? You want it? Take it. All right. Pick her up for me, please. No sleeping on the job, lady. Turn here. Stand in front of her. You just got filled. Now fill him. Fill him. Good. Now come stand behind this one again, please. Oh, don't even worry. Just take it. Amen. And you? You're laughing at your mother. Come here. Can somebody say God is good?
Amen.
All the time. Amen. Listen, yeah, there's a whole bunch of chochos in your life that have to drown tonight. Are you willing to let them drown? Raise your hands and say, bless God. My chochos are drowning. Drown. Come with me. Come with me. Did you listen to what I shared tonight? Did you listen to what Jesus did when that woman had a spirit of infirmity? What did he do? He healed her, but how did he do it? Somebody say with me, one touch. Just one. Now, you know, later on we're going to be ministering to people. And let me just help you right. Jesus didn't have to have a lot of information. He just had to be there where the problem was. And when he touched the problem understood, I better run. Hello? The problem understood, I better run. Because the one who's touching me, he only needs one touch. He just needs one touch. If you try and do it in the flesh, it takes forever. If you let the Spirit do it, boom, it's instantaneous. You were diagnosed with cancer how long ago? In February this year. And you testified a while ago that... Have you testified yet to these people? Come stand here. Ooh, you have to listen to this. You have to listen to this. Tell them sort of just very shortly what happened, what your count was, and where you are now.
Okay, in February this year, I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, ovarian cancer. My count was 7,543 in 6 weeks after my operation. Today, my count, well, the last count that we had was before this chemo that I had, and it was 682.
Can somebody say praise God?
Praise God!
Now, listen to me very carefully. I know the doctor's patting himself on the back and he thinks his chemo's done a great job, but it's impossible because it can't come down that quick. How many of you know the living water touched her? And it's going to touch her again. Turn around. Are you thirsty? Do you want to give that cancer a bit of water? Can we give it a lot? Can we give it a flood? How's about we flood it out of you? Take it. Amen. God is good. Young one, stand there for me, please. You can run, but you can't hide. You're a little bit like a boat in the ocean. The sea is choppy, and there's a lot of up and down, up and down, up and down. Sometimes when you look at your life, you think, when is it going to become stable? It's going to become stable now. Listen to me carefully. God has heard the cry of your heart. He knows that you're not happy with the way things are right now. There's a couple of small changes that you're going to have to make. Don't worry about what it is. God's going to show you. He's going to begin to speak to you. I want you to listen to me. There is a gift with you. It's not functioning now. But within the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to start popping out. Don't worry about the word pop. I don't mean you're going to freak out and demons are going to... It's just going to start... It's going to start coming out. It's going to start coming out. Now, you must take this word and you must bury it in your heart. God's going to walk a very interesting road with you. And you're going to have a very blessed life. And if you allow God to, you're going to help a lot of people. Would you like to do that? You're going to do that. You're going to do that, but let me tell you something. Nothing is going to happen until the fountain starts. Do you want it to start? Right, raise your hands. Take it! Woo! We got people shaking, rattling and rolling in front here, all over. Apparently the water is flowing here. Well, bless God. Yeah, give the Lord a big hand, please. It's called a river for a reason. Rivers flow. Rivers flow. Don't worry about her. She's going to be fine. That's God's way of just dusting off the cobwebs and getting things sorted. And she's a female, you know, they need tuning now and then. Leave that up to God. Don't you try and do it. Just cause problems. Amen. God is good. All the time. Bless God. All right, let's get back to that scripture that I was reading. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and he said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." He put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and she began to praise God. Immediately. I want you to say that word with me. Immediately. When the river of life is allowed to flow, the touch of God is immediate. Now the Lord gave me a word tonight. The Lord's word for me tonight, for the people that are here, was that abundance will be released tonight. Abundance will be released tonight. Now, I want you to listen to that word abundance. Some of you are thinking, great, I need a lot of money. Some of you are thinking, man, I have very little love. Some of you are thinking, man, I need a lot of wisdom. Well, listen to me carefully. Abundance touches everything. You need finances, abundance is coming for you. You need wisdom, abundance is coming for you. You need love, abundance is coming for you. Do you hear me? Abundance. John 10:10. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but the thief can take a hike. Because abundant life is my portion. Abundant life is my inheritance. Not some stupid thing running away with my peace, my joy, my hope, my life, my love. Hello? Abundant life is what God has for me. Abundant life. And tonight God's going to release abundant life. Ma'am. Yes, thunderbolts and lightning. I'm talking to you. Come here. It's a private joke. I'll tell it to you later. Yeah, you have to stand behind it. Did the spirit of joy touch you now? Okay, sorry. I'm not going to get in his way. You just enjoy. You want river? You want life? Take it. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Let me share with you one or two examples, and then I'm going to end for tonight, because there's something God wants to do. We're talking about curses, how they work, how they affect people. About 10 years ago, a family phones me about a gentleman. He's in a wheelchair. He was in a car crash. This is the story. His wife went to a fortune teller. The fortune teller told her, "There's two good things and one bad thing that I see in your future." The woman said, "Well, okay, give me the good things." The woman said, "Well, you're first going to get into this amount of money." Of course, that's a bargain, because that's why most people go to fortune tellers. They want to hear that there's some ching ching in the future. And then the fortune teller told her, "And then there is a second amount of money that's going to come into your life." So this woman is thinking, man, today is a good day to be alive. But then your husband will die in a motor car accident. Now, of course, when she went to the fortune teller, she did not go to hear that word. She went to hear things are going to be well. But you must understand something. When you go to a fortune teller, the spirit that is speaking through that person does not come from God. Because God expressly forbids fortune telling. The word of God forbids it. Rion, where do you find that? Ah, you ask such interesting questions. I'll have to show you. I'm going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, and verse 9. When you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations that live there. Let no one be found amongst you who sacrifices his son or his daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, who interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells, who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Now, mediums and spiritists is just one way to explain fortune telling and that type of thing. Let no one be found amongst you. Do you know what was the punishment, the penalty, if you were caught engaging in these things in the Old Testament? Who could help me? Death by stoning. That should give you an idea of how bad this is in God's eyes. Yet let me tell you something. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people still do that today, including some of you sitting here. All of you sweating right now, you need to come and see me just now, okay? We'll pray for you. It'll get better. And so this woman, she goes to this fortune teller and she gets two good news, one bad news. Now she gets home and her husband knew that she was going to go to the fortune teller. So that night he's pestering her the whole time. Okay, so what did the woman say? What did the woman say? And she doesn't want to tell him because she's frightened. And I don't blame her because that's a bad word to get. Eventually, her husband pesters her so much that she decides, well, I'm going to have to tell him because he's probably going to find out anyway. Because she's told some of her other friends. So she tells him, we're going to get this amount of money, then we're going to get that amount of money, and then this woman said that you are going to die in a car crash. So the husband looks at her and he says, oh, well, I don't believe that rubbish anyway. It's got nothing to do with what you believe. The curse has already been spoken. The curse has been spoken. Don't you know that the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue? What you allow those people to speak over you will come for you. So they forget all about the word. They try and push it out of their minds. They go to Marula's son. Guess what happens? They win the first amount of money. Now don't get any ideas, please. And if you're starting to think that way now, you better come for prayer. They win the exact amount of money that the woman said would come first. Of course they enjoyed the money. But they're still hoping that this is just a hoax. And then, a policy pays out. Guess how much it pays out? The second amount of money. Now this is getting a bit dodgy because you see now it's 2 out of 3. And then one night she gets a phone call. Her husband is in the intensive care. His car lost control. And at 120 kilometers an hour, he went into a tree. He's in a very, very critical state. People everywhere begin to pray for him. The only reason he's alive today is because people began to pray. Because the spirit of death was there to take him. But prayer stopped him from taking him. But the curse was still working. And what is the curse? The curse is death. It wants to take his life. And death is fighting against life now. When I got the phone call about this family, this man, I can't remember the exact amount of time. Ja, swaar. Hoe gaan hom jou? Jy raai. Is jy bietjie dronk? Jy's bietjie lam. Het jy lambode? Well, okay, nee, is reg. Ek sal nou vir jou bid. It's okay. Sit maar. It's okay. When the power of God comes upon you, strange things happen. Now, when I went to go and see this gentleman, it was many, many months after the accident. You know what the funny thing was? He had broken almost every bone in his body. I can't tell you how many other, some of his internal organs were bust up, and there was really, really bad problems with this man. Now, no matter what the doctors did, his body wasn't healing. The way God created us, the way God put us together, your body can actually heal itself. You know, when you get a cut, things begin to happen, and a couple of weeks later, the cut is gone. You remember the Band-Aid plaster thingy? Where'd my cut go? It wasn't the Band-Aid, it's the way God made you. The body can heal itself. But for some strange reason, in this man's case, his body wasn't healing itself. None of the bones were growing. The other problems weren't sorting themselves out. They had sent him home and he was in a wheelchair because they did not know what to do for him anymore. They'd stabilized him to the point that his wife had to take care of him. And there he was. So that night I go to the house and I hear all this stuff, and I will never forget. The man is sitting there in the wheelchair. Next to him is sitting his wife. Next to the wife sits the daughter. I listened to this. I said to them, you know what? A spirit of death was loosed over you when you went to that fortune teller. It was compounded by the fact that you cursed your life by going to the fortune teller in the first place, because the word of God expressly forbids you from doing these things. And therefore this spirit of death had the power to come against you. So the family says, well, what must we do about it? I said, it's easy. We're going to come before God. We're going to confess it. We're going to repent. Well, not we. They are going to repent of having done that. Now, the word repentance means you are not just sorry about it, but you are willing to do something about it. You are willing to turn around. It carries with it the idea of somebody walking in a northerly direction. He realizes he made a very big mistake. He stops right there, turns around, and goes in a southerly direction. You go in the opposite direction of where you came from. And that's why some people never get healing and never get where God wants them to be, because they are simply sorry, but they are not repentant. Repentance means you are willing to change your life. I said to them, we're going to confess it. You are going to repent of it. You are going to renounce the curse that you called upon yourself. Because when you go to fortune tellers and spiritists and mediums, that's what you do. You call a curse upon yourself. And then after you've done that, we'll pray and we'll command it to leave. So I lead them in a prayer. They pray this prayer with me. I take authority over the curse that came upon them and I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. It was so interesting. The man sitting in the wheelchair begins to shake uncontrollably. As his shaking begins to subside, his wife sitting next to him starts. She shakes in exactly the same manner. Uncontrollably, as she subsides, the daughter sitting next to her starts shaking uncontrollably, and then it subsides. The curse first came off the father, then off the mother, then off the daughter. 2 months later, the man was walking. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. He walked into the doctor's office. The doctor nearly fell off his chair. It's like, what? All these years, nothing, or all these months, nothing, and now you're coming in here? You see, the curse of death was no longer working against his body. Plus, the grace of God had touched his body, and healing was released. Jesus came, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In other words, the thief came against his family to take the man's life. But even though the thief came with power and the thief came with ferocity, when Jesus came, he came to give abundance. That includes abundant healing. That includes abundant life. That includes abundant provision. Whatever it is that you're looking for, God's got it. My friend, God is your answer. You're not going to find your answer in some book. You're going to find your answer when you come to God. You know, a while ago, people made this big deal of this book called The Secret. I don't want to upset you, but there is no secret. There is a person called Jesus. When you meet him, the secrets of the kingdom of God will be revealed to you. When you try and find secrets in mysticism, and you try and find secrets from the Orient, and you try and find secrets by going into the twilight zone, you will pick up chochos. Hello? But when you meet Jesus, you meet the healer. When you meet Jesus, you meet the redeemer. When you meet Jesus, you meet the deliverer. When you meet Jesus, you meet the one that that is willing to give you abundant life. And if abundant life can't change you, then I don't think anything in this world can change you. And abundant life is not just available to some. Abundant life is available to everybody. Look at your neighbor and say, "Now that's good news." That's good news. And let me ask you this question. Does abundant life cost you anything? No. Costs you nothing. You know, there's a lot of people, they invest their life savings in some stupid pyramid scheme, hoping to get something back, and then they lose everything. You want abundance? Come to the one who can say, "To me belong the cattle on 1,000 hills. Because he's got enough for you. Hello? He's got enough for you. Put your faith in him. I'm not saying that you shouldn't invest. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do any of these things. But your focus should not be on the stock market. It should be on the one that gives prosperity. It must be on God. The reason why a lot of people lose so much money is because their focus is on the stock market and on this broker and on that tip that they got. And you know what? They forget about God all along. And that's a sure way of failing. If you're young, you have a business. You work for God. You don't work for yourself. I don't want to hear that. You don't work for yourself. You work for God. You do have a boss. Hello? But let me tell you something about your boss. He's the richest Jew in history. So I don't think you're going to have no problems, are you? And he's kind, and he's gracious, and he's merciful, and his goodness surpasses everybody else's. And he's willing to give you abundance. And if you work for some other guy, that's just your direct boss. Your big boss is up there. You work for him too. Prove to him that you are faithful in the little things, and he will give you bigger things. But don't have your eyes on the one paying your salary. Have your eyes on the one that pays his salary. Work as if you are working for God. And see how far you will go. Amen? Let me promise you something. You will go far. And you will not crawl. You will not run. You will fly. Because he will give you wings. And you will rise up as an eagle. You somewhere in the pit right now, just get some wings. Red Bull's not going to give it to you. Sorry, Wilson. Nice try there, eh? Right. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. Man, look at the scene of devastation here. You see, this is what happens when there's flooding. You get driftwood all over the place. Bless God.